God, Lord, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord.
Yes.
My strength and my redeemer. We read in your hearing from the book of Isaiah, chapter 9, verses 6 through 7. Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. And the government will be upon his shoulder. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. This is not a traditional Christmas message. We're still talking about peace today. Amen. If we had a topic, it would be no Jesus, no peace. No Jesus, no peace. No Jesus, N-O. No Jesus, no peace. No, K-N-O-W, Jesus, no peace. Those are homonyms, words that sound alike but are spelled differently. You understand their meaning by the way they are used in a sentence. No Jesus, no peace. No Jesus, no peace. This is our final Advent message. Fourth Sunday is set aside to talk about peace. Now listen, I took my watch off, so I'll stay up here all day if y'all don't talk back to me. All right? So let's do what we have to do. Amen?
Amen?
Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Without Jesus, there is no peace. Those who know Jesus, they have peace. And see, this is where we tend to get hung up as Christians. And I believe our trouble is we want peace without the Prince. That can't happen, for peace is rooted in the person of Jesus Christ. The Bible says that he shall be called the Prince of Peace. He alone is the giver of peace. And what is it, this peace that he gives? The Hebrew word for peace is called shalom. And it forms the basis of the New Testament passage and the New Testament messages on peace. This term shalom appears 200 times in the Old Testament. Basically, it means calmness, it means quietness, it means freedom from anxiety, and it means tranquility. The root meaning of shalom is to be whole. Come on, shalom describes a state of being at ease. It pictures a condition in which people feel at ease or comfortable with each other. So I ask you this afternoon, do you have peace? Of the more than 200 times that shalom appears in the Old Testament, 50 to 60 times, it means the absence of strife. The absence of strife. It didn't say the absence of problems. It didn't say the absence of what everyday life will bring you. It just says the absence of strife. So you can still have peace in an unpeaceful world. Amen? It is a testimony to a relationship between people and nations. In such context, it describes the state of world peace. Shalom suggests either an internal personal peace in the heart of an individual or an external peace between people or nations. But shalom is personal. It is spiritual and it is inward. It gives inward tranquility and harmony. Are you following me? It is a peace that gives us victory no matter how hard our personal lives become or how difficult the circumstances are that we face. Shalom puts our mind at ease despite the stress, anxiety, tension, pressures, or worries that come our way. Do you have peace today? It becomes clear throughout the New Testament, especially in the letters of Paul, that Jesus is the source and the giver of shalom, the giver of peace. Continuously in the salutations and closings in his letters, Paul uses phrases like he does in Romans, grace and peace from God our Father, from the Lord Jesus Christ, or he shares a commandment and a promise with his brothers and sisters like he does in Philippians 4:9. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice. And the B part of that says, the God of peace will be with you.
Yeah.
Peace is rooted and is grounded in Jesus. God the Son is the Prince of Peace.
Yeah.
But you have to have Jesus.
If
you
Amen.
Know Jesus, you know peace.
Yeah. Yeah.
The Prince of Peace grants inward and external peace.
Yeah.
Peace is personal. It is collective. For us, it's individual children of God, and it is His Word. His peace gives us victory over anxiety and stress.
Yeah.
Have you ever watched someone go through a terrible storm? And you watch in amazement at how calm they are?
Yeah.
That's peace. Amen?
Yeah.
If you know Jesus, you know peace on an intimate, personal level.
Yeah.
Now, I know you're expecting, you know, a traditional message of, you know, the star came out, the wise man came. But we know that.
Yeah.
We know that story. Let's talk about what we need right now. But we need peace in our homes, on our jobs, in our relationships, in our marriage, in our own heart. We need peace. Every year on Christmas Eve, we tell the same story over and over again. We read a passage from the Bible, usually in Luke, and we remember what happened on a night some 2,000 years ago. I'm sure you can tell it with me. A census was taken. There was an unmarried couple named Joseph and Mary. This is all you're going to get for the Christmas message, so you better listen. Joseph and Mary were about to give birth. They had to go and be counted. So they journeyed on to Bethlehem. But when they got there, there was what? No room at the inn. So Mary had the baby out in a manger. Not long after that, the angels and the shepherds announced the birth, and they came and saw a baby there, and the baby was named Jesus.
Amen.
Part of the reason is that that's the only story that we have. A lot of people ask me, why does the Bible end where it does? We have the New Testament with all these books written back in the first and second centuries, and then we have nothing. It's almost as if the story ends. We don't get an update on Christmas, on what's going on. We don't get a Christmas letter filled with news from Jesus. We don't get a new version of the Bible delivered every December, and every year we read the same story again. So you wonder, what is the point? The story never changes, and if you're thinking about the words found in the gospel we read every year, you're right. The story doesn't change. But if we're talking about the real story, the bigger picture, the story about Christ's birth and what came next, then that is different. Because this Christmas story does change from year to year. The United Church of Christ, they have a motto that they use, and they say, God is still speaking. And I have to admit that I'm not UCC, but I like that. God is still speaking. God didn't stop being active in our world, in our lives, 2,000 years ago. When you see Brother Holly asking, he'll tell you God is still speaking. Amen. God is still working in the world. He's still transforming, and He is still transforming us. He is just not in the past. He is a right now God. A right now relevant God. And we the people are still speaking God, and God is listening to us. We're still hearing the stories, not just ones written long ago, but also new ones around us. Stories of healing, stories of restoration, stories of homes restored and marriages restored. God is still speaking.
Amen.
The most miraculous part of the Christmas story, if we're really changing, then we're really transformed by God's love for us. And we're not becoming people who not only listen to the Christmas story, but we become part of the Christmas story.
Yes, we do.
See, you can either watch or you can partake.
Yeah.
Right?
Pray the Lord.
My granddaddy used to say, you can either look at a painting or you can paint the painting. You can paint the picture. You can either read a story or you can be part of a story. And the same thing is true with our relationship. We can either watch the blessings that others receive and sit by and wonder where ours are, or we can get our house in order and renew our relationship and tell our own story and write our own story. Amen? If you truly want to get to know the baby that was born 2,000 years ago, if you want to follow the person he grew up to become, then you cannot help but be changed.
Amen.
You can't be a part of the story if you don't change. And that means you can't avoid becoming a part of a greater Christmas story, which is a story of hope, a story of peace, a story of joy and a story of love. Christmas is not just a story about Christ being born some 2,000 years ago. Come on now. It's about a story of Christ's love being born in our hearts anew every single day. The hymn writer said, morning by morning, new mercies I see. And it's a story of how we respond, not just tonight and not just tomorrow, but every day. And that's all I'm going to say about Christmas.
Come on.
Now let's get back to Isaiah. We're talking about peace. In my research, I came across some amazing and frightening facts. Since 3600 BC, this world, has only known 292 years of peace.
Come on, talk to us.
And during this period of peace, there have been 14,351 wars, large and small, in which 3,640,000,000 people have been killed. The value of property destroyed is equal to a golden belt around the world, 97.2 miles wide, 33 feet thick. There have been 1,656 armed races, of which only 16 have not ended in war. The remainder ended in the economic collapse of countries that involved. Now that doesn't sound peaceful, does it? Our Messiah Jesus is coming again to usher his millennial reign. You have to listen over the world as our rightful King of Kings and our Prince of Peace. And he will set it all in order when he comes. Amen. Are you with me? Brothers and sisters, we have to understand that Jesus is coming back again. We're talking in Christmas time, we're talking about he came in a manger. But we need to be relevant for what is happening right now. And we need to understand, yes, he came as a baby. And he came as the Prince of Peace. But he is coming back as our Savior and our Lord. He's coming back. Will you be ready? This time he's not coming back in a manger. Not to be despised, he won't be rejected by men. He will not be a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. He is coming to bring lasting peace on earth. The Bible says that every knee shall bow. Every tongue is going to confess. Every eye is going to see him and acknowledge that he is Lord. He's coming back. Many people go through life trying to fill the void, emptiness, and longing for peace with everything else that you think can satisfy your right now needs.
Yeah.
Jesus told his disciples in the book of John, I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world, you will have what? Trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. It was imperative that they knew and understood that Jesus is the giver of peace. And only if you know Jesus will you truly know true peace.
Yeah.
Are you following me? Jesus is called the Prince of Peace, even in a world where we lack peace and trouble surrounds us. By knowing Jesus, we still have peace.
Yeah.
The only way to access this peace is by what? Faith in Jesus. We talked about that this morning at Sunday school. You have to have some faith to believe in Jesus. Right? If you take the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and you say he's one in three, divine, fully human, and fully man when he was here, he knows our every need, he knows the number of hairs on our head, he knows our thoughts before we think them all individually, that takes some faith, doesn't it?
Amen.
Isaiah calls him many names in this passage. Wonderful. The angel of the Lord was asked his name in Judges 13 and 18, and he replied, it's a secret, or it's beyond your understanding. The word used in Hebrew is equivalent to the word here we translate as wonderful. Can you imagine God and Jesus being so powerful and so mighty that we can't, his name is beyond our comprehension and our understanding? They say counselor. Isaiah speaks later of the spirit of counsel resting upon Jesus in Isaiah 11. Jesus comes alongside as our advisor to give wisdom and understanding through the word, through prayer and through his Holy Spirit, and on occasion, through one of his servants. He comes alongside as our advocate, justifying us before the bar of God's law and vanquishing on our behalf the accuser of our brethren. They call him a mighty God. This Jesus is God is taught throughout scripture. For example, in John's gospel, every time Jesus took his lips, he said, I am. He was addressing himself with the name of God. The apostle Paul accredits Jesus with names and attributes we understand from the Old Testament that belong to God. In him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead body. They called him the everlasting Father. Jesus said, I and the Father are one. And those who took up stones to stone him did so because they clearly understood he was making himself equal with God. You can find that in John 10, 30 and 33. Jesus has made the author of everlasting salvation to everyone who obeys him. Hebrews. See, you can go in the old and the new. The whole book is relevant. The Prince of Peace. We have peace with God through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus gives us peace that the world can't give. Right?
Amen.
When the world gives you something, they come take it back. Or they'll come and say, look what I did for you. Look what I gave you. But the joy that the Lord gives, the peace that the Lord gives, the world doesn't give it to you, and they can't take it away. Do you have peace today? Come on, do you have peace today? Do you know Jesus? These are questions you should be able to shout the answer to. Do you have peace? Do you know Jesus? Salvation is found in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. At the same time, in the name of Jesus, every knee is going to bow. Heaven, on heaven, in heaven, on heaven, under the earth, on the earth, every tongue, everywhere, every angel, every heathen, every crook, every criminal, every saint, every shady Christian, they're going to say, that is Jesus. There is wonder in the name, wonderful. Let's break it down, his birth. It was wonderful. Come on now. His life, it was wonderful. His teaching, they were wonderful. His miracles, they were and they are wonderful. His transfiguration was wonderful. His death was amazingly wonderful. His resurrection was wonderful, and his ascension was wonderful. See, everything about him is wonderful. But the world will tell you, if you go over there with them, your life is going to be different. You won't have no fun. You can't do this. You can't do that. You can't go here. You can't say that. You can't say this. And some of that is correct. But I will tell you this. The things of this world are just the things of this world. And when you leave here and the Lord calls you home, the things of this world are going to stay right here.
That's right.
All the things that you thought were so important are going to stay right here. All you're going to have is what the undertaker puts on you. That's
come
it.
On. Come on, come on, come on.
A nice dress. If you're lucky, they'll bring your good hair.
Come on, come on.
No, come on. They'll bring you some shoes, some earrings. Man, they'll bring you a suit. Most of the time, folks don't bring socks. We got to go buy socks. The only thing that you're going to take from here physically is what the undertaker puts on you. Your family going to drive your car around, run it out of gas. When the inspection run out, they're going to park it and let it go. Your family's going to go through your house. They're going to take everything that's good. They're going to leave the rest for the God junk truck. They're going to sell it to the lowest bidder, fight over what's left, and move on. And the things that we worried about mean nothing. Temporary. It's a temporary fix. His teaching was wonderful. His miracles wonderful. The way he left here was wonderful. And the way he's coming back is wonderful. Come on and help me now. I'm done. I'm going to close. Ghost now, help me, brother. There's wisdom in his name. They called him a counselor. As a counselor, that means what? He's always available. As a counselor, he gives you undivided attention. As a counselor, he gives you comfort. As a counselor, he guides you along the way. As a counselor, he enables you and strengthens you in your weak areas. There's wealth in his name. They said he's a mighty God. Matthew 28, Jesus has been given all power in heaven and in earth. He created it all. Says, I am Alpha and I am Omega. I am the beginning and the end. I am the author and the finisher of your faith. Y'all ought to be happy about that. Nothing is too hard for him. There's worship in his name. They called him an everlasting God. And if you know Jesus, you know the Father. If you know the Father, you know Jesus. If you know Jesus, you know peace. There's welcome in his name. They called him a Prince of Peace. He came to give us rest. Come unto me, all ye who are weary and heavy burdened, and I'll give you rest. If you know Jesus, know peace. The Prince of Peace will reign on David's throne forever and forever. There's no increase. There's no end to the increase of his government and his peace. Isaiah paints the picture of peace that Jesus will bring. And he says that the Lord himself speaks and says, the wolf will lay down with the lamb. The leopard will lay down with the goat. Come on, the calf and the lion and the yearling together. A little child will lead them. The cow will feed with the bear. Their young will lie down together, and the lion will eat straw like an ox. The infant will play near the hole of a cobra, and a young child will put his hands into a viper's nest. But they will not harm or destroy anybody on the holy mountain, for there is safety. They will neither harm or nor destroy. The earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Rest assured, the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. This is shalom. Come on, this is peace. Jesus is peace to a broken heart. He is peace to a dying mind. He is peace in the time of a storm. He's peace in a troubled marriage. Somebody ought to shout, Jesus. Do you know him? He was Mary's baby. A doctor in a sick room. A lawyer in a courtroom. A man out of nowhere. A rock in a weary land. Right there. Come on now, let's be real about it. I'd have stayed right there. I'd have said they got got themselves into it, get up, let them get themselves out. But he said, I'll go. He told his daddy, make me a body, I'll go down and be man. So he left a place of perfect peace, came down and was born in a dirty, filthy place. For you and for I. But he loved us so much. He said, I'm going away for a little while, but I'm coming back. And that's the real Christmas message. Yeah. Not the fact that he came. The real Christmas message is that he loved us so much, he's coming back. And that makes me happy today, and it ought to make me happy too. It ought to be a blessing. God of it is mine. Hey! The doors of the Lord's house are open. Privacy. If you don't know the Lord and the full pardon of your sins, I invite you to come. The doors of the house are open. Don't leave like you came. Don't leave like you came. That doesn't make any sense. I'm going to preach a sermon series. That just doesn't make sense. Don't leave this place like you came. If you don't know the Lord, you need to take care of that today.
Amen.
Right now, while you have more blood in your body, you're not in a funeral home waiting to be viewed. Tomorrow is not promised. If you don't know it, you need to find it today. If you need to rededicate your life, the doors of the house are open. You may come and renew your relationship with Christ. If you are seeking membership, the doors of this house are open. We invite you to come. Don't put off for tomorrow what you can do today. If the Lord has placed you here and he has laid it on your heart, come. If you need special prayer, the doors are open. The altar is available. If you need special prayer, come to the altar. We will anoint you and pray with you and for you. The doors are open. The altar is available. If you need prayer, come on and get it. Don't be shy. The Bible says, come boldly before the throne. In the new church, we say, just raise your hand. But the Bible says boldly. If you're ashamed before men, I'll be ashamed of you before my Father. If you need prayer, come. Come right now. Thank you. our Lord and Savior hung on for the remission of our sins. Take time out and thank Him. Thank Him for His goodness and for His mercy. Have a wonderful and blessed day on tomorrow. That is my prayer for you. Let us rise for benediction. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up His countenance above you and give you peace and joy. Lord, be a fence all around you and protect you from all hurt, from all harm, and from all danger. But in peace we do not meet again, know that we will reunite at the feet of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But until